903. Joining us now on the line, he's the radio play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You also see him on Sportsnet. We say good evening to Eric Smith. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good, George. How are you doing?
Good. Don't you hate when you probably have plans with your family, it's Victoria Day, you're going to watch some fireworks, and then the Raptors decide that their general manager is not the general manager anymore?
I had to stop drinking beer.
Really? Is that what it is? And you're like, okay, I got to focus, and I got to get serious.
I mean, I was only two in, so I'm okay.
But, oh, that's all right.
And that was like 4 hours ago, so we're good to go.
But, all right, that's awesome. When you heard the news from Adrian Wojnarowski that Jeff Weltman was leaving, I think a lot of people in this city wouldn't even think that Jeff Weltman's actually the general manager of the team. They think all the decisions are made by Masai Ujiri, but how integral was Jeff Weltman to the day-to-day operations of the Toronto Raptors?
I'd say very, and I'll tell you, and your assessment is bang on, George, and that's not meant by any means, and I'm sure you didn't mean it either, and I don't mean it in saying this. It's not a knock on Jeff Weltman. I think because of Masai's clout, his stature, his presence, his aura at times around the Raptors since coming here, it's almost as if he's had the broad stroke for everything and everyone and every decision that's been made. But it kind of inadvertently, I suppose, has cast all of the light, all of the spotlight on him, and maybe, I don't know if it's fair to say, unfairly not put enough light on those around him that are key parts of what he does and what the team does on a day-to-day basis, on a season-to-season basis, in terms of preparation for training camp, for the regular season, for the trade deadline, for the draft, for then free agency, and how the off seasons are kind of constructed and orchestrated in terms of the ultimate plans and the ultimate wish list, and how things unfold and come to fruition in the off season, preparing for the following year. And that's not just Jeff Weltman, but that's the likes of Dan Tolsman and Bobby Webster and the rest in the front office. And I think that Weltman, to answer your question, I think is an absolutely key part. And you have to maybe look no further than when Masai Ujiri first came to Toronto. One of the first, if not the first guys that he wanted, that he pinpointed, was a guy that he had alongside him and was working with him in Denver, in Jeff Weltman as well. And that's a guy that he wanted to have with him from the get-go. And the two of them had been kind of in lockstep from day one in terms of their views on how to build a team, the right types of players, the right types of personalities and character that they wanted to build with. So Weltman's been there every step of the way. And as much as you or I or many others listening might not maybe give Weltman as much credit as he absolutely deserves, he does deserve every piece of credit for legitimately being the general manager of this team, working with Masai Ujiri on every decision, and not just being sort of in a token role. He's very valuable. He's very well respected, not just within the Raptors organization, but around the NBA for his previous stops, whether it be in Los Angeles with the Clippers, with the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Denver Nuggets, now in Toronto, and obviously respected to the point that there are Magic are handing him the president role and essentially handing him keys to their organization, and now saying, you go hire us a new GM, you go take us into the next step that we so badly need on this 5-year reported deal. So that just goes to show you the value that Weltman has in Toronto and now will have with the Orlando Magic.
Is the timing funny right now, this just a few weeks away from the draft and free agency?
It's a little bit funny, and I'll say this. Just to use a football example, and you and I have talked about the Bills endlessly, whether it be on Sunday mornings or in other shows over the course of the last X number of years. I think it was just even a week and a half or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, when you and I were chatting on a Sunday with the guys about the Bills drama. And I understood what happened with Buffalo in that most teams, if not all teams, would be very leery about giving up one of their presidents, GMs, assistant GMs, somebody connected to their front office right before the draft. Hence the reason the Bills allowed a guy like Doug Whaley to stay with them through the draft, because they're essentially saying, listen, we've employed you for X amount of years. You've obviously put in the work and done the work for this draft, so we'll allow you to see it through. But the minute that draft is over, when every team's draft is over, now we're going out and trying to pluck the best of the best out there, and we're saying sayonara to you. And the point being, there's not a lot of teams that would want their, you know, say, assistant GM, just for argument's sake, taking all of the work that person has done, all the research that person has done, especially those sort of diamonds in the rough that might be out there, and bringing all that information and all that scouting and all that expertise and all that knowledge to a new team right before the draft. So from that standpoint, it is a little bit strange, for lack of a better term, the timing with the NBA draft about 5 weeks away. I think the side of that, though, is I think the Raptors probably feel that they have enough, and this is not meant as a knock to Dwellman. I think the Raptors probably feel they have enough still left in the cupboard in terms of all those previous names that I mentioned, let alone their scouting department, let alone they've been the trust and the ultimate say and the ultimate stamp of approval that they put in the hands of Masai Ujiri, to the point where they say, you know what, Jeff, we're not going to stand in the way of an opportunity for you. Another team has contacted us. Another team has sought out permission to speak with you. We are not going to stand in the way of that opportunity. And so I think the Raptors thus have allowed it and feel comfortable enough in what they have left to still have a very strong draft. And I think also the separation between where the Raptors are selecting and where the Magic are selecting. It's not as though you're just a couple of picks away and somebody could be stealing a pick away from you. It would have to be a very substantial reach for the Magic to have a top six pick and suddenly take somebody away from the Raptors with Toronto selecting in the 20s. I think from that standpoint, I think Toronto must have felt comfortable to say it's okay to let Jeff Dwellman go right now.
He's the radio voice of the Raptors right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You also see him on Sportsnet. Eric Smith joining us here on Sportsnet tonight along the Sportsnet radio network. Eric, we know with the sweep at the hands of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a lot of question marks. And quite frankly, there's now heat for the first time on Masai Ujiri, maybe ever, as the president or GM of the Toronto Raptors. I asked you about the timing of Jeff Weltman leaving. What's the timing like for Masai Ujiri now? Does he take the GM role back because, well, he has some heat on him to improve this team now? How does Masai Ujiri take this?
I think at the end of the day, and I kind of keep kind of prefacing this, George, by saying this is not meant by any means as a knock towards Weltman or whomever now might take the role if it ultimately is not Masai Ujiri himself. Masai Ujiri as president still has ultimate say. And I think a lot of organizations have kind of gone this way, not just in the NBA, but in all sports, where there are some where it is still traditionally the GM has the control. There are many others, including even just if we look in recent history with the Raptors themselves, when Brian Colangelo was here and he served as president and general manager, then he served as just president. And the way that the roles have kind of evolved in pro sports, where a lot of the time the president is essentially the one making the call. So whether Masai Ujiri takes the actual, quote, GM title or not, to me, ultimately doesn't matter. I think he is still the one that is having final say on all trades, on all signings. And I'll say it now for the fourth or fifth time, with no knock on Jeff Weltman or whomever else, when the NBA trade deadline, you know, that just recently went by, it was a collaborative, collective effort, no doubt, with Jeff Weltman sitting right beside and standing right beside the Masai Ujiri right to the very end, and on phone calls and helping orchestrate deals and involved in many conversations, some with or without Masai Ujiri. But when it came time to make the final call on said trade for PJ Tucker, for Serge Ibaka or anybody else, it's still Masai Ujiri that makes the call. So I think, you know, George, to answer your point, if you know, Masai ultimately doesn't take the quote GM title, he's still in charge of this team. I think, you know, it might be more a case where the Raptors internally promote and perhaps look at a guy like a Bobby Webster and name him general manager of this team if they do ultimately go internally and promote a guy like Webster to take over the reins, knowing full well that the final say is still going to go to Ujiri. And make no mistake, again, I'm kind of repeating myself through George, but I think when it comes down to deals that go down, you know, let's just take this past trade deadline for example. You know, Masai Ujiri could be on the phone with, you know, say, I'm just throwing a team up there arbitrarily, could be on the phone with the Los Angeles Clippers having a conversation while Jeff Weltman's on the phone with the Phoenix Suns making the PJ Tucker deal. But at the end of the day, he's done all the legwork. He's done all the conversations. He's worked the trade out itself. It's still going to Masai Ujiri to make that call. It's still going to be Masai Ujiri. And that would be the same thing going forward. But yeah.
We'll reconnect with Eric Smith in 1 second. His phone, those mobile phones, kind of faded out a little bit. We'll talk to Eric Smith again. Fascinating stuff because, yes, Jeff Weltman, as Eric just said, has been an integral part of the Toronto Raptors franchise. But again, Masai Ujiri making the ultimate decision. And Eric Smith joins us again. And Eric, you were saying about how Jeff Weltman and Masai Ujiri ultimately has the say on the final trade. So if, in fact, there is something that's going to get done with the Raptors.
Yeah, I think, it's a case where I think Masai Ujiri trusts his generals, however you want to say, he trusts his men around him to reach out initially to other teams to help begin the discussions on trades, to put the feelers out, whether it be scouting, professionally scouting, the pro scouting aspect of that involved in the NBA, not just college scouting. I think he trusts them to do all that. But when it comes time to make the final say, it's still going to Masai, and I don't see that changing going forward. So I would think ultimately the Raptors probably hire and promote internally to allow that internal promotion of guys that have put in the legwork, not just with the Raptors, but with the Raptors 905 and all that comes with essentially running two organizations, keep it in-house, but know full well that it's still Masai's baby.
Eric, I know you've had a couple weeks now to decompress after the Raptors season, and clearly it was a disappointment the way things ended. And obviously after talking to Kyle Lowry during media day, if you had your sense, if you had a gut feeling, is Kyle Lowry coming back?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you, George, this is where I wish, you could probably say the same thing about the NHL as well, and maybe all sports for that matter. But I almost wish, free agency began before the draft, so you could know what you actually needed and get a little bit better sense.
Doesn't that make more sense, though?
Yeah, it does. I mean, if the draft came later, not earlier, right? Because it's not as though you're going to solve all your problems via the draft, but you kind of get a better sense of what your team might look like, what gaps or holes you may or may not have, and then you can thus fill them or hope to fill them with drafts, with selections, with draft night trades, et cetera. My gut tells me that Kyle Lowry's back. I may ultimately be proven wrong, but I think when I look at the way that this team is made up, the way that this team has won back-to-back 50 games, steadily improved as a core, gotten better arguably each year. Some may say, okay, granted, you technically took a step back this year in that you didn't win as many games as last year and you bowed out a little bit earlier. But when I look at the core of this team, if it were to be kept together, the core that we all talked about, at least on paper, being the best maybe in franchise history, you never saw that core together for more than, 7-8 games? When you think about it, George, Kyle Lowry came back for the last 4 games of the regular season, and Serge Ibaka sat out one of those. So they had 3 regular season games together. They then played in that first round series against Milwaukee, and Kyle Lowry ended up having, 2 games in the conference finals before going down? So you're talking about, I guess my math is bad there. They had 10, 11 games together as a starting unit with Ibaka and Lowry with DeRozan on the floor together. That's the kind of team I think that you would want to have half a season together, a full season together, a training camp together. It's not going to be easy for Ujiri. I think when you think about the finances of having to sign Kyle Lowry to a major contract, having to sign Serge Ibaka to a major contract, but I believe in my heart of hearts when you look at the free agents that the Raptors have, and you know how much I hate playing the speculation game, but if you start ticking off want versus need and fiction versus reality in terms of what you can and cannot afford, whether you're going into a tax or not, perhaps a guy like Patrick Patterson is on the outside looking in terms of the finances. Perhaps you're seeking out trades to get rid of some of your larger contracts that you have to thus free up financial flexibility, whether that's a Valanciunas, whether that's a Damari Carroll, who knows? But you start looking at the depth of your team and saying, if we're looking, much like we just talked about with the front office, to internally promote, could a guy like a Jakob Poeltl take some of the minutes of a Valanciunas and or a Patrick Patterson? Could Lucas Nogueira step into one of those roles? Could Damari Carroll's minutes be replaced somewhat by one of the younger players, i.e. a Norm Powell, who's looking to take that next step? You start thinking of stuff like that. And I'm not promoting or pushing for Carroll to be gone or Valanciunas to be gone or Patterson to not be re-signed. I'm just looking at the reality of trying to comprise your roster with what you have and what you need and what you'd like to keep. And I think keeping a core with a, you know, with a three-time All-Star at the point, along a three-time shooting guard in DeRozan, alongside a defensive-minded, pretty solid rebounding, pretty solid, you know, three-point shooting stretch four/five in a Serge Ibaka, and maybe then having enough money to bring back a veteran piece and a defender in a guy like PJ Tucker, I think you start looking at that and saying, this team could still be pretty damn good. The ultimate X factor that I think Jeff Weltman in Orlando or Masai Ujiri in Toronto or any GM and president around the Eastern Conference has to have is, how good can we be and what is our reality as long as LeBron James is in our conference and still this around the league for 3, 5, 7 years? Are we always going to be playing second fiddle, or are we going to legit have a chance to knock this guy off his pedestal at some point?
Isn't it time for this ownership, though, to maybe pony up a little and get into that luxury tax?
Well, if you believe, and we've got no reason.
Oh, I'm dying to hear what he has to say about the ownership and the luxury tax. Because who knows how much money this... We got to get him on the line one more time. Damn you, mobile device. Actually, in fact, I love mobile devices. I can't live without my mobile device. Thanks very much. Eric, before I let you go, I'm dying to hear what you have to say about the ownership and the luxury tax, because that's a question I think that's been thrown around in this city for a while.
Yeah, and I apologize. I have no idea what's going on with my phone, but on my end, it looks like I got full bars and I'm sitting in an empty kitchen, so I apologize. I would say
it's not Roger's fault in any way, shape, or form, so don't worry about it.
It could never be Roger.
Never.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I'll tell you, we've got no reason to believe that Masai Ujiri, you know, was pulling wool over the eyes of all of us, because he's been pretty damn straightforward in his time in Toronto. And he said, you referenced earlier the you know, locker cleanup day and Kyle Lowry and everything else. Masai Ujiri, in his follow-up press conference the next day, George, said that he has the backing of ownership to go into the tax and to pay the luxury tax if need be. They've essentially handed him the keys, as they did years ago, but have said, we trust you to make the call. And he said this could go one of either two ways. It could absolutely be we go into the tax, we pay the tax, and Toronto's a luxury tax team because they've gone out after one or two or five big contracts that have put him into a crazy stratosphere. But the flip side is they're prepared to tear it down and to go into a rebuild if that's what Masai ultimately decides as well. And when I look at this team, I don't see a full rebuild coming. The only chance that a rebuild could come is if you not only found a taker for Valanciunas, but you found a taker for Damari Carroll, and you potentially moved DeMar DeRozan out of town as well, and then you just went with DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet and Norm Powell and Jakob Poeltl and Bruno Caboclo. I don't see that happening. I don't see a team that's been to the playoffs four straight years, you know, was in the conference finals last year, a team that, you know, won 50-plus games back-to-back years, suddenly just tearing it down and going bare covered with all of the youth. I personally don't see it. So I think there's a greater chance of you, at the very least, retooling for next year, if not potentially going into the tax. Because the key to that, too, George, is if re-signing your own guys ends up putting you near a tax, that's one thing. But the other thing is, if you're trying to be active in the free agent market and having contracts that shove you into, like I say, a different stratosphere, it still comes down to having to get guys to take that money, to take those deals, to come to your team. And that's a whole different conversation if guys are still willing to come to this team. And I'm saying that about any city. I'd be having that same conversation in Boston, Chicago, Washington, or otherwise. As long as guys are willing to come to your team, to play for your team, to try and make a run at LeBron and whatnot, that's the ultimate question, is can you get those guys to sign those deals or make those trades to acquire those types of players?